How many of you glad about it? Amen. Amen. I'm afraid a lot of God's people are trying to give that old man mouth to mouth and resurrect him. Amen. And thank God one day when he moved into my heart. Amen. He quickened, the Bible said, he quickened something inside me. There wasn't a turning over a new leaf. Hallelujah. It was a transformation. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, The Transformers. I like that kind of stuff. Amen. And they got that old beat up Camaro. And that thing turns into a great big robot. Yeah, that was a transformation. Amen. It became something totally different than what it was before. I might get happy right there. I said it became something totally different. Amen. Than what it was before. It can take an adulterer and put him in the pulpit. Amen. It can take a drunk and make a deacon out of him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter number 7. I feel some preach coming tonight. Amen. I've been out of church the last 3 services and hadn't got to preach, and I'm about to die, and I'm full of it, and I'm going to dump it out before I leave here tonight. Amen. Amen. I am a little weak, but Lord, thank you for my voice that we can speak and talk again. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 7, the Bible said, "And it shall be asked, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." He said, ask for it, you'll get it. Look for it, you'll find it. Amen. This world is looking for answers everywhere. You listen to the news or talk radio, everybody's got their own opinion about this and their opinion about that, and why there's no world peace and what the answer for the economy is and blah, 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 blah. Every now and then I just yell at the radio, shut up. Amen. I just tell them, shut up. Ain't none of y'all got no sense. The answer is Christ. Amen. It's good to seek, but you got to look in the right place. Amen. They're looking in the wrong place. He said in verse number 8, "For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone?" That'd be a pretty sorry daddy, wouldn't it? "Daddy, I'm hungry, I need some bread. Okay, here's a rock, chew on that for a little while." "Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" This year, in the spirit of Christmas, and there is a spirit of Christmas. Can we agree on that? There is a spirit of Christmas. Even people who don't know Christ get caught up in the spirit of Christmas. Amen. People who normally wouldn't go and buy things for other people or do things to be a help for other people, people are, this time of year, they go out of their way to do nice things and show acts of kindness for other people. Amen. And I like that. I think it ought to be that way all year round. Amen. I think people ought to want to help one another out all the time. It shouldn't be a holiday. Amen. We shouldn't have to have a date on a calendar for an excuse to be good to somebody. Amen. During Christmas, we all, somebody said it's better to give than receive. I thought that was wrong when I was a kid. I thought, well, you out of your mind. There's no way that it's better to give than to receive. I don't care how many presents Pam's got under that tree, long as the big ones is mine. Amen. That's the way I felt when I was a little boy. Amen. I love to get gifts, don't you? I mean, I really loved it when I was a kid, but now I get more excited about giving somebody something than I do getting something. I told my wife, I gave her present yesterday, and I was so excited about it, I went and bought it. If I buy you a gift, you're getting it that day. Amen. There ain't going to be none of this hiding it and putting it under the bed. You're going to get it right then. Amen. And I was so excited about her coming home. And boy, then I got nervous, Brother Freddie, and I thought, what if she don't like it? Man, I went out and spent the money and I got this thing I think she really wanted, but what if she don't like it? What if it's the wrong color? What if it's this? What if it's that? We get concerned about the gifts we're giving. Now the Lord said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give to them that ask Him? Amen. Amen. We don't give our kids bad things. We give them what we can, don't we? Yes, now just stay with this thought line for me just for a minute. What do we give our children? Y'all talk to me. Come on. What we can. We give our children what we can afford to give our children, right? Come on, talk to me now. Our children will receive for Christmas or whatever the occasion is, they will receive from us what we can afford to give them. Somebody's going to get this in just a second and get happy with me. What are we going to get from Jesus? Stay with me now. What are we going to get from the Lord? What He can afford to give us. Soak in that just for a minute. We're going to give our kids what we can afford to give them. Now, that is very limited in my case. I remember when we went to high school, there was some rich kids. I'd call their name. Brother Warren didn't know who they were. But they were some rich kids. They used to get cars. Every year, their senior year, they had like 9 kids. And one of them was one of my best friends. He got killed in a car wreck. But anyway, every year at Christmas, whichever kid was a senior got a new car. And it was a Camaro or a Trans Am, something really cool. I could never do something like that for my kid. Come on, talk to me. Why? I can't afford it. Amen? I can't afford it. I like what one little boy said down here in the crack. Somebody said, what did you get for Christmas? He said, my neighbor's bicycle. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we are limited by our ability to provide. But we do the best we can. Let me say it again, we do the best we can. Can I say to you tonight that God is still doing the best He can? And He's still giving everything heaven can afford. Hallelujah. You say, well, what can He afford? Well, the Bible said that He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth of every mine. He owns the rivers, the rocks, and rills. Amen. Are you listening? He owns more riches than tongue can tell. He's my Father, so they're mine as well. Amen. What can He afford to give you? What do you need?
Yeah, come on, preacher. Amen.
What are you in need of tonight?
Yeah. Amen, preacher.
When we think about our need, we automatically begin to, our mind runs to physical necessity. But our need tonight, not just in our church and not just in our town, but in our country tonight, our need is more than physical. I get phone calls. I raised 3 messages on my phone just now before church started. People calling wanting help. I had 3 phone calls. One wanted a gas bill paid. One needed propane to heat their house. And the other one needed something else, money. Everybody wanted money. Never do I have people call and say, preacher, we are in a spiritual dilemma in our house. Never does anybody call and say the devil is giving us fits. He's having a heyday. Husband and wife are trying to kill one another. The kids are full of the devil. Preacher, pray we have a spiritual need.
Amen.
But tonight our spiritual need is greater than our physical need.
Amen.
I like to eat.
Yes, sir.
They give me a steroid shot, Brother Charles. That thing will make you eat like a hog. I thought I was going to have to go to Walmart in the middle of the night because I done ate everything in the house. I like to eat, but I have a greater need than physical food, and that's spiritual food. What good would it be for a man to die and go to hell with his belly fat and full? Amen. I'd rather go to heaven starving to death, wouldn't you? Come on, talk to me. What can Christ afford to give us? He can afford to give us and the gift that will meet the greatest spiritual needs in our life. Let me tell you what God gave me for Christmas. He gave me salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He gave me salvation. I stand before you a saved man tonight.
Amen.
Amen. We don't brag about that enough, do we? I said, I stand here before you, saved man. What do you mean by that? I'm as close to hell right now as I'll ever be in my entire life, Brother Freddie. I'm on my way. I'm heaven bound, the preacher said, with the hammer down. I'm hell proof. I'm fireproof. I'm saved by the grace of God. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him. He's a gift. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Listen, man, salvation is the greatest gift ever received by man, woman, boy, or girl.
Yeah.
Amen. Angel come in there last night. She had this box about this big all wrapped up and had a bow around it. And she said, this has your name on it. As soon as she left this morning, I run and grab that box. When it comes time to open them presents, you outside your mind if you think I'm going to let that sit there. It's got my name on it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. It has my name on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That means somebody purchased that for me.
Yeah.
That's my gift.
Yeah.
And when it comes time, I'm going to, we got the stupidest tradition in our family. This is how we open. That's bad when you have to preach to your mama, ain't it? They start with the youngest. And everybody, and there's 50 of us. They start with the youngest, and they got to open all their presents, and then the next to the youngest. Then that was pretty cool when I was four. But man, when you're 46, you got to leave somewhere in the middle of that and go get a haircut. It's bad. But I promise you, when it gets to me, my gifts will be opened. Why? They were purchased for me.
Yes,
amen. Amen. They were purchased. Somebody cared enough. Somebody spent the money. Somebody went to the store. Somebody wrapped the gift. Somebody had the thought to do something special for me. Yes, I will open it.
Yes,
and if you don't open your presents, you're just weird, man. Yeah.
Amen.
I'll open somebody else's. I don't care. Amen. I'm serious, heart attack, bro. Now, Jesus provided for me salvation at Calvary. When He bowed His head and said, Father, I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do, He purchased, paid in full for my eternal salvation. And not to receive and open that gift would be the craziest thing I could ever do in my life. Woo! I'm glad it wasn't on Christmas Eve, Brother Paul, but it was on the New Year's Eve. I opened my Christmas present a little late that year. Amen. But under Jabez's pine tree in his front yard, I opened the gift of salvation, and Jesus saved my soul. Hallelujah. Somebody, somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
I'm saved. The greatest gift any man, boy, or girl ever received in their life was eternal salvation.
Amen.
I'm saved, man. Woo! Did you know that was a need in my life and nobody else could meet? Remember one year, I was hauling hay and made some money during the summer. And I saved my money and somebody took me to Kmart, I believe it was, and I bought my mother a watch. And I was so excited about giving my mama that watch. I could not wait. Well, that Sunday on the bus, all the bus kids got together and they bought Mama that same exact watch. She opened that watch on the bus, and as soon as I saw it, I just busted out crying. Broke my heart. You know what happened? Somebody had the ability to do the same thing I did. But with salvation, nobody else could do that. Nobody else had the ability to provide that. Somebody said, if Jesus is not the only way to heaven, why did He have to die then? Because He is the only way. He is still the way, the truth, and the life. And no man still comes to Him but by the Father. You listening to me? Hey, we better make sure we've received that gift of salvation. And I'm preaching to my church members, I know, tonight. But who knows?
Maybe somebody's here. You've let that gift set.
Amen, brother.
It's purchased.
That's right.
It's paid for.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not lingering on a credit card with interest being paid. It's paid in full.
Amen.
It's paid for. It's yours.
Yes,
but you've got to have that place in your life where you receive that gift.
Amen.
Amen. When you open that thing.
Yeah,
I'd heard about salvation all my life. I'd heard about it all my life. You ever anticipated opening a present when you really didn't know what was on the inside?
Amen.
That's the coolest thing. And I hate it when people wrap stuff and put it in a box it didn't come in. I mean, like, man, you tear this present open. Fruit jars. I mean, you know. You remember when you got saved? When you first received the gift of salvation, do you remember how wonderful? Woo! You had no idea. You had heard about it. You knew salvation was a good thing. You knew going to heaven when you die was a great thing. You knew escaping hell was a great thing. But you really had no idea. All you heard about was somebody else's joy and somebody else's experience. But you had never received that for yourself. But brother, when you first tasted the gift of God's salvation, it blew your mind. If you're saved. Amen.
Amen.
He gave us the gift of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith."
Amen.
And that not of yourselves. It is the what?
Yes.
It's the gift of God.
Amen.
What a gift. What a gift. A gift is not something you earn.
Yes. Right.
You listening? I'd love just take some time and tell you how many ways Jesus is right the opposite from Santa Claus.
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
The whole premises with Santa Claus is he's making a list. And he's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the Lord's list. He's got one too.
Amen.
He knows who's naughty and he knows who's nice.
Right.
But here's the difference. With Santa Claus, if you're naughty, you don't get nothing. But with Jesus, because you were naughty, you got it all.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. He didn't save me because I was a good little boy, Brother Freddie. He didn't save me because I had Sunday school pins on my jacket. He didn't save me because I sang in the choir. He saved me because I was a wretched sinner. Good God Almighty, on my way to hell. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God for the gift of salvation. Amen. I don't care what's under that tree. It ain't going to top that.
Amen.
They can pull a brand new Chevrolet Silverado four-door, four-wheel drive truck in my yard with a big red bow on it, and it won't be better than my salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Ed McMahon can bring me that great big check for $10 million. It will not top the gift of salvation that Jesus purchased for me.
Amen.
Amen. I remember when I was a little boy in school, I always hated going back after the break. Y'all know what I'm talking about? January 2nd or 3rd, whenever you had to go back to school. I hated that. But every year, everybody in elementary school, we could bring one thing that we got. And you stand up in class and show what you got. That was pretty cool. Amen?
Yeah.
We'd say, I got this from so-and-so. I got this from my grandmother. I'd like to just stand up in class tonight and say, I got salvation.
Yeah. Amen.
And I got it from Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
I got saved and I got it from Jesus. Well, how many times did you get saved? Just once.
Yeah.
Amen, just once, 20-something years ago, just one time, that's all it took. And you know what, it's still good, amen.
Yes,
amen. This time next year, you will have forgotten half of what you've been given this year.
Yeah.
Them socks, hey, come on, talk to me, man. Come on, ladies, get a grip, man. Socks, for real. Them socks will have holes in them. Maybe being used as a dust rag.
Yep.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
But that salvation, I don't care how long you've had it, it's just as sweet,
yep.
It's just as fresh,
amen.
And it's just as real as it was the day I got it, Brother Charlie.
Amen.
The newness still hadn't wore off. Matter of fact, it's got better, amen?
Yeah.
You know why? Because when I got it, I didn't really know what all I had. Amen. I had no idea. It's kind of like that. I gave my wife, and it's probably a bad gift. Men will make fun of me. But I gave my wife a blender for Christmas. That's what she wanted. Mixer, blender, same thing. Same outcome, is that right? But it's one of them nice ones. It ain't no little $10 Walmart thing. It's nice. Sets on the countertop, KitchenAid deal. Man, that thing does all kind of stuff. I mean, it'll grind meat, make sausage, make ice cream. I've open can open. I mean, it does everything. Had no idea. All I thought I was getting, Brother Todd, was a mixer.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was getting a whole kitchen arsenal. That's what it is. I mean, you can start a cooking war with that thing.
Amen.
And that's the way salvation was.
Yeah.
All I knew, Brother Warren, when I opened that gift and received salvation, all I knew for sure was I wasn't going to hell.
Amen.
That's the only thing I really even cared about at the time. I didn't want to die and go to hell. But then, brother, I was sitting in church one Sunday morning right after I got saved, and the preacher started talking about going to heaven when I die. I said, "Woo! I get to miss hell plus go to heaven?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's enough to excite a man right there. Amen. So the longer you have that gift, the better it ought to get. And if some of you, if that gift has gotten better, you need to tell your face about it. Amen. Run around saved by grace with your lip dragging the ground. What's the matter with you? Amen. We have the eternal gift, or the gift of eternal salvation tonight. Amen. He gave me the gift of salvation. He gave me the gift of stability. The gift of stability. Do you know what people need more than anything else in America outside of being saved? Stability.
Yes.
People are yo-yos, man, up and down, in and out, on and off.
Yes,
I love to see stability in people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I've told Brother Freddie and Brother Charles this before. I watch these guys, and I'm not knocking anybody here tonight, but I watch these guys who come in, and just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, brother, whoom, they're on fire for God. I mean, brother, they're soul winning every day and street preaching. They're wide open, going to set the world on fire 6 months. You can't find them.
Yeah. That's right, preacher.
6 months. Where'd they go?
Yes, sir.
Man, they're going to change the world.
Yeah.
What happened? No stability. Amen. No stability. Now don't get me wrong. If I can have you on fire for 6 months and that's all I get, great.
Yeah.
We'll take that.
That's right.
But I'd like to see you make it out for the long haul.
Yeah, sure.
Amen. I'd like to see you like Brother Charles and like myself 20-something years down the road after salvation, still shouting the glory of God, still giving praise unto God, still doing the same thing every week, same place. Amen.
Yes,
stability.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, 1 Peter 5 and verse number 10, he said, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while," watch this, "make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you."
Amen.
Amen. God will give you stability if you'll hang on there long enough to receive it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. You might have to go through some trial, but hang on. God will give you the stability you need in your life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I want this church to be stable enough that we grow old together. Amen. I want to watch the rest of these kids grow up. I love little old Harley. I mess with that kid all the time. I want to marry him one day to a girl. Write that down somewhere, David. I want to marry him to a pretty little young lady. Maybe one of these little old young ladies. Might be Marianne. I don't know. Might be one of these little old girls running around here. Who knows?
Amen.
Now, wouldn't that be an honor?
Yes, sir.
Get to go to the hospital when they're born.
Amen.
Amen. Then get to marry them. Then get to go to the hospital when their babies are born. You know what that is? That's stability.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. That's stability. That's what we need in our church. That's what we need in our home. And the Bible said it's a gift from God, and he'll give you that stability in your life.
Yeah.
Amen. Do you know what it takes to prove stability in your life? Time.
Yeah.
Time.
Amen.
Now, I love to see people get excited about the things of God. Matter of fact, I'll throw gas on the fire. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. But come see me in 6 months.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's see where you are a year from now.
Yeah.
See where you are 5 years from now. Lady asked me the other day doing my health physical. She could not believe. She asked where I've worked, and I told her. She asked me how long I'd been here. I said, well, if the Lord lets us live to April, it'll be 18 years. She said, you've been pastoring the same church 18 years?
Yeah.
I said, yes, ma'am. And he said, I'm still as excited about it, Brother Freddie, as I was that first Sunday.
Hallelujah, brother.
When Brother Charles used to check me out. I quote a scripture, he'd turn to it. He making sure this young punk is doing right, amen. Amen. Brother Charles, I'm still excited, brother. I'm still excited. I still get a thrill about walking into this place. I still get a thrill. I still get a thrill about hearing that piano fire up on Sunday morning. I still get a thrill when I hear the old man is dead. I've been hearing it for 18 years. I'll take it 18 more. Why, God has given us some stability around.
What a gift, man. I know churches tonight that are in turmoil. Why? Because of no stability. No stability whatsoever. Psalms chapter number 2 and verse, chapter number 32 and verse number 8. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will give thee, or guide thee with mine eye. God will guide us into a place of stability in our lives.
Amen.
Brother Jody has been at a church with Brother Patterson the last couple of weeks, I think. That's going through a turmoil. I mean, people just fighting and fussing and leaving and mad about this and mad about that. And he said and she said, come on.
Amen.
This is not church for kindergartners. Let's quit fighting over the toys.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We got bigger things going on. I was preaching in a church, but it was that one. 60, and y'all, when I say this number, y'all gonna know where I was at, but I don't care. 60-something people got saved in a week.
Amen.
I baptized 50-something young'uns in a lake on Friday. And there were people in the church behind the scenes murmuring and backbiting the whole time. What's wrong? But we need some stability in our church.
Amen.
We need stability in our homes.
Amen.
Amen. You know what the best thing a kid can have? More than material things, more than four-wheelers and go-karts and what all other Wii's and Xboxes, a stable mom and dad.
Yes.
A mom and dad that still love each other.
Yes.
Amen. A mom and dad that treat each other at home like they treat each other at church in front of a preacher. Amen. A mom and dad that love their church around the kitchen table just like they love it when they're testifying in the sanctuary. Amen. Y'all listening? I think it's a horrible thing that children have to go home from church with parents and hear how bad other people in the church are. That's wicked. You know what that shows that kid? You're a hypocrite. Well, you was in there shouting and singing with them a while ago. Amen. We need stability in our home. Amen. We need stability in our churches. We need stability in our government. That's the most unstable mess I've ever seen in my life. People are crazy. I'm like, we're in trouble. We've got retards running the show. They think this is a fix and that is a fix. No, borrowing money from communist country, that'll fix everything.
Yeah.
God. That just blows my mind, man. We need God.
Amen.
We need God.
Amen.
Listen, ain't no Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or nobody else got the answer. They're all a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
We need Christ.
Give
us somebody in America that'll stand up and say, let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to godly principles. Amen. And let's stabilize this unstable. That's what they keep saying about our economy, right? It's what? Unstable. It's unstable. People live their lives by which way them little arrows point every day on the 6 o'clock news. I don't understand that stuff.
Well, the Dow is up. What we doing? I'm still broke.
Amen. They go talking about the Dow is up. Boy, everything's looking good. I'm like, same $20 bill I had in there yesterday. Amen. Ain't nothing changed around here. Amen.
live my life by which way's them arrows point. Live by my life by Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 and just trust God. Amen. Stability. He's given us the gift of stability. And I believe we have some good, stable people right here in our church. Amen. I believe we've got some that are unshakable, unmovable. Amen. I believe we do. Why? Because we've stood through the storms together. And we're still standing. Amen. I don't know what we'll face tomorrow, but I do know this. We can get through it. Why? Because we got through that. And we got through that. Are y'all listening to me? And we can go on and on and on and on. Man, we've come through some pretty wild stuff. You're sitting in a church tonight. We've had people die in the bathroom. Yeah. Between Sunday school and church. Brother Tom just fell out graveyard dead right there in the bathroom. We've had people go out in the pew. I'll never forget when we went through that period. I was in an average of 4 funeral homes a week for 6 months. We buried Brother Robert's little niece in that time. Had a baby under each arm, got hit by a log truck. Horrible, horrible stuff. I remember I called a preacher who pastors over 3,000 people, and I said, "What do I do?" He said, "I ain't got a clue." I mean, boy, God's let us go through some stuff together. You know what it's done? It's made us more stable. When the little things come in here, nitpicking things, it makes us go, "That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing." We done been through cancer head to toe and prayed that girl well. Amen. We've done battled this and we've done battled that. That stuff, that gossip stuff, that ain't nothing. Amen. Do y'all know people talk about you? I don't know if you're aware of that. I just want you to know somebody does. Somebody's talking about you. Somebody's talking about me. And I don't care. Mama's pointing at who's talking about her. I don't care. Why? Because it don't matter. Amen. He's given us the gift of salvation. He's given us the gift of stability. Oh, Lord, I got to quit, ain't I? I told you, it's been a while, brother. He's given us the gift of serenity. Y'all know what serenity is? I'm talking about peace, friend. He said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ." Wow. Thank God for peace. I love that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." I love the story. I believe the man's name was Spofford, Brother Charles. William Spofford, I believe, wrote that song, "It's Well With My Soul." I'm sure you've heard the story. But his wife and children were on a ship sailing to another country, and the ship went down. Or the children went down in the ship. The children went down in the ship. And the wife sent the thing back, the telegraph back, "Saved alone." And he got on the ship to go and to meet his wife. And when the ship got over the spot where the other ship went down, the captain said, "Sir, this is where your children died at sea." And he got home and he wrote that song, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Lord, you've taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." I don't know how people go through this thing we call life without him. I really don't. Was it not for Christ, we'd all be on Prozac tonight. I'm serious. I would, Brother Freddie. There's no way we could go through the things. Amen. I sat there at the foot of my little grandmother's bed, and her laying there with a broke leg, and boy, I just sat there and looked at her. Boy, my heart just broke for her. I thought, boy, I'm so glad we got God. I'm glad we ain't got to do this by ourselves. They took little old Tanner in for that surgery, my little cousin. Tumor on the stem of his brain. When he walked through that door and we said goodbye, or we had that last prayer, and
told him we loved him, and they took him through where we couldn't go. Only the doctors could. I was glad there was one more that walked through that door that nobody saw. Nobody saw him. Nobody heard him. But thank God I sure felt him. Amen. And I knew he was there. Hey, thank God for the peace of God tonight that passeth all understanding. And I thank you, Lord, for the peace I've got in my heart tonight. It's not just the peace of God, Brother Parker. It's being at peace with God. Amen. Thank God. Me and him ain't at odds tonight, amen? Because I'm at peace with him, I can be at peace with you. Amen? Thank God for the gift of serenity, peace. Listen, I'm a human just like you are. I'm liable to lay down my head on my pillow tomorrow night and worry myself to sleep about something. I worry. Especially when things are wrong and people are at each other in the church. That bothers me. It does. If I think somebody's mad at me, I'll be up all night. I can't sleep. It bothers me so bad. And all of us going to deal with that as humans. Times we worry. But in those greatest times, and if you've been saved very long, you know what I'm talking about. When God gives you that peace that you just really can't explain. Yes, and you know it's going to be all right. Yes, when you pray for a loved one for days and months, sometimes over a period of a year, and you're watching them slowly dying every day, and you're praying, God, please heal them, God, please heal them, God, please heal them, and then God does something in your heart, and your prayer changes. God, take them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Lord, don't leave them. Like, he gives you peace that it's okay. I watch Brother Charles. One of the dear, sweetest men I know. I watched him hold his little mama's hand and said, Mama, it's okay. You go on home and we'll see you after a while. Amen. I'm talking about peace, friend. I'm talking about peace. Amen. And it's a gift of God. Amen. He gave us his peace. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Matter of fact, he is peace.
Amen. He is peace.
Remember what the angels told them shepherds? He said, peace on earth. They were talking about him. Outside him, there is no real peace. Outside of him, no man can know real peace. Because he is peace. Thank God for the gift of salvation. Thank God for the gift of stability and the gift of serenity. And lastly, and I'm done, I'm thankful for the gift of security. I'm thankful for that. I'm an insecure person. Anybody that was raised in a divorce home, you know what I'm talking about. You're afraid everything you love is going to leave you.
Amen.
You just grow up with that mentality. I'm glad I don't have to worry about Christ leaving me.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Whew.
I don't got to worry about him running off. Thank God. I'm secure. My Bible tells me that I'm saved until the day of redemption.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't want to argue eternal security with nobody tonight. But if you can lose your salvation, what's it take?
Amen, brother.
What's it take?
Amen, brother.
Is there a line God draws and says, as long as you don't do nothing worse than that, you're okay? What's it take? Brother Todd, if I could lose my salvation, I'd have been lost today.
Amen.
I'd have been lost yesterday. Right. Every time somebody cuts me off in traffic, I'd have to get saved again.
Amen.
Huh? Every time somebody, I went shopping for my wife. I love Christmas, I do, but I hate shopping. I hate it. I hate it. Every mall will burn in hell, every mall. I sat in the mall parking lot and I'm waiting on a parking space. And it's a mile from the store. And I sat in there and I watched this little old lady. She puts all her stuff in her trunk and she does all that. And I'm waiting on her to back out so I can pull in. Well, she just locked the stuff in the trunk and left. After I sat there, she could have went, I'm not leaving. That's bad to have thoughts about whooping a little old lady. I mean, it really is. She started walking up that little old aisle just to prison. You know, she knew what she did. I started taking that steering wheel and go, boom, boom. What's it take? What do you have to do to lose your salvation? Now listen, Jimmy Swaggart was a famous preacher when I was growing up. Still is, as far as I know. But y'all forgive me, I love to hear him sing. How the man can play the keys off a piano and sing. But he was going with hookers. And he didn't lose his salvation. What are you saying? Could be you can't lose what you're not in control of. I'm not holding on to God. He's holding on to me. And if he can't keep a grip, I've got the wrong one. Jesus said if he's in my Father's hand, no man can pluck him out. Amen. I'm not riding around with a plastic Jesus on my dashboard that I'm depending on. Amen. I'm not rubbing a set of beads to get me through my problems. I'm serving a king tonight. I'm serving the one who possesses all power, all might, and all strength. Amen. Who said the earth is his footstool. Pretty big God, wouldn't you think? Amen. I'm secure in him tonight. I may worry about where money's going to come from to pay our bills at the church. And I do. That's one of my, and I try, I pray, God forgive me. I told you I wasn't going to worry about it no more, but I do. I worry about how the mortgage is going to be done, how this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And I worry about different things. Lord, they did them blood tests on us the other day, and I thought, Lord, they're going to come back and tell me I got sickle cell or AIDS or something. You know, you're scared to death. You know, it's going to come back, be a bad result, you know, which we's fine. Amen. But you know something I ain't worried about in 26 years, Brother Charles? I ain't worried about hell. I ain't worried about hell no more. Ever since that night, Brother Shane, when I said, God, I need you, I ain't worried about hell no more. Oh, the devil's come, tried to make me doubt my salvation. Every time he does, I just tell him, jump my truck. Just jump my truck. I'm going to take you down to Mulberry Rock Road. I want to pull up under a pine tree in these people's front yard where I got saved, and you know I did, sucker, because you was there. Amen. I'm not worried about losing my salvation. I'm worried about my flesh and messing up. I'm doing wrong. Amen. Why? Because I'm in control of that. That he's in control of my salvation. The greatest gifts heaven had to offer, we have. If we're saved, we have the gift of salvation. Amen. We have the gift of security and serenity. We have the gift of being steadfast and stable. Amen. Don't look around at what you hadn't got this year. Look at what you do have. Look at what you do have. As a matter of fact, I probably, everybody in here has probably got more than you deserve. I remember my grandfather sit and tell me about Christmases in the old days, how they'd all get one little present, and they'd have a sack, and they'd have an orange and an apple. Why, your kids would throw that in your face. Huh? We got it made, people. God's been good. Quit looking around what you can't do. Look at what you can do. That preacher told us Sunday night, Brother Freddie, we can pray. I can't buy them all out, but I can pray. Amen. I serve the God who owns that mall. Amen. And I really didn't want to run over that little lady. I just thought I'd let y'all know that. I didn't. Not for long anyway. Let's stand to our feet tonight. What have you gotten for Christmas this year from the Lord? Have you an unopened gift on the altar? If you died right now, would heaven be your home? Is that thing settled? If not, you ought to just get down here on this altar tonight and say, Lord, I need to open that present,
yes, sir,
that gift of salvation. I need to receive that thing tonight. Amen. Hadn't got any peace in your heart, any stability, unsecure? Why don't you come tell the Lord about it? He's already purchased it for you. If you'll just come receive it tonight. Let's get these, Brother Todd, maybe if you and Brother Charles would hand those prayer sheets out. Let's come to the altar. Just gather around, pray. Pray till you get done. You get done praying, you're dismissed. But remember, there may still be some others praying, so keep the noise down, okay? Thanks for being in church tonight. Merry Christmas, church. I love you.